Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Mark, the third chapter. I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. Mark chapter 3. And if they could put, Chuck, if you could put Mark 10:45 on the screen. Mark 10:45. And could I ask the congregation to stand, please? You join me in standing. And let's quote Mark 10:45. Can we? There we go. We'll start with the reference, then we'll say the verse, then we'll say the reference. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. Let's do it one more time. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. Thank you. You may be seated. That is what many believe to be the key verse of the book of Mark. Our series is entitled Straightway. This word is used multiple times in the book of Mark. The book of Mark is a gospel about Jesus doing. The word straightway in maybe your translation may say immediately. And immediately Jesus did this. And immediately he did that. Straightway is an old English word that will hopefully you'll remember it because of the uniqueness of that word. And that's why I chose that. But straightway is our theme. And Jesus, can I say this? Jesus is after people. He is busy in this gospel going after people. Can I say this? He's after you. Jesus is after your life. He is calling us to himself, and we are to give our lives to him wholeheartedly and without reservation. We are to turn over the controls of our lives to Jesus. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. The Apostle Paul, when he met Christ on the road to Damascus, when Jesus appeared to him in a bright light, he said, who art thou, Lord? He recognized it was the Lord, creator of the universe, that was calling him. And so in our passage today, we find out what it really means and how are we to respond. What are the options in response to the calling that Jesus has upon our lives? Look at Mark chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. And I'll read it. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him, and they went into the house. Then the multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he's out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons. So he called them to himself and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Assuredly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. But they said, he has an unclean spirit. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him, and a multitude that was sitting around him, and they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brothers? Verse 34, and he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. In your listening guide, there are three responses that we give today. We see in this passage that we can give. To some, following Jesus is an appointment. That's number one. Following Jesus is an appointment. If you'll look at our passage in verse 14, it says, then he appointed 12. That word appointment is from a word that means to make. You remember when Jesus said in the book of Matthew, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Jesus is in the business, listen, of making people. Jesus is in the business of transforming people. And to some, when Jesus says, follow me, they are appointed. They see it as an appointment from the Lord because Jesus is going to make something out of their life. Think about this. When Christ came, he came to convict us. Or have you been convicted of your sin that you need Christ? He came to change us. There's only one thing that can change you from the inside out. You say, oh, I'm ugly to my wife. I'm hateful sometimes to my children. I'm doing things at work I shouldn't do. Well, I got news for you. The only person that can change you from the inside out is the Lord Jesus Christ. So he challenged us. He changed us. I mean, he convicted us. He changed us. But then he challenges us. He challenges us to be who Christ has called us to be and to make a difference in this world. Now, notice what they were appointed to do in verse 14. Then he appointed 12 that they might, number one, be with him. The greatest opportunity you have in this world is to spend time with your Savior. It says they were appointed to be with him and that he might send them out to preach. The Lord is a sending God. He's one who calls us and sends us out. So, and then he gave them power to heal and to cast out demons. You think about Peter. Matter of fact, look over two books of the Bible to the book of John, chapter 1, verse 42. John 1, 42 says this. It says, and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, this is Peter, he was the first one mentioned in the appointment here in our passage. It says, and he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. Christ said to Peter, you have rock-like characteristics. And Peter was called Cephas, which means a stone. And in one place he said, thou art Peter. And he used the word which means have the rock-like character. And then he said, upon this rock. Not talking about Peter, he used a different word. Upon this rock, and it's a word that means like a Gibraltar. I mean a huge rock, not a stone, a huge rock. Upon this rock, and he was referring to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God is going to use the church in a powerful way. So we see Peter, James, and John. They were called the sons of thunder. They had zeal. That passage, they had zeal that was characterized by both these brothers. At one time, they didn't have patience for hardly anyone. They said, Lord, can't we call down fire from heaven and consume these inhospitable Samaritans? They were bold. And so you've got James and John. Then you've got Andrew. The word Andrew means manly. He was a specimen of manhood. Andrew, and then Philip. Legend has it that Philip was a chariot driver. Saw Philip Steers today. Philip, get you a chariot, man. The legend has it he was a chariot driver. Then Bartholomew, then Matthew, from the Hebrew meaning a gift of God, and then Thomas, meaning a twin. James, the son of Alphaeus, then Thaddeus, then Simon the Zealot, or the Canaanite. It says here it's another word that means one with zeal. And then of course Judas Iscariot. The Lord brought people to himself. He called them out. It says in verse 13, he called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that he might be with them, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sickness, and to cast out demons. So, to some, following Jesus is an assignment. It's an appointment. What about you? Number two, to some, it's absurd. Verse 20, then the multitude came together again so they could not so much as eat bread. By the way, when Jesus was busy doing his work, there were crowds. Hey, church, let it get out that Jesus Christ is changing lives in this place. We won't have enough seats in here. We need to ask God that the power of God be in this place so strongly that it will draw people, and they will be here to see what Christ is doing. And so that's what happened. It was a great multitude. They couldn't even eat bread. They couldn't even have a biscuit. There's no way they could get it. Verse 21, but when his own people heard about it, now there's some are not real sure whether that means his own family or just those that are close, probably meant some of his family. It's going to talk about his family later on in our passage. But when some of his own people, when they heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him. By the way, to lay hold of him means to arrest. It means you would go up to somebody, just grab him by the shoulders and say, we've got to go. They thought he was in trouble. They said, we've got to lay hold of him, for they said he's out of his mind. That phrase, out of his mind, I have it circled in my Bible, and I've got a line drawn to the margin that says, to stand outside of oneself. You ever heard this phrase? Man, he's beside himself. That's where that comes from. It comes from this concept right here. He's out of his mind. And so they thought this is absurd. Following Christ is absurd. He's out of his mind. And then look in verse 31. Then his brothers and his mother came. They were in Nazareth. They had gotten wind of all that Christ was doing. And they said, man, we got to go help him. We got to go get him. We got to do something about this. And so his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him calling him. Hey, go in there and tell Jesus to come out here. His mom's here. We need to talk to him. And so, and a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But when he answered them, saying, who is my mother and my brothers? And he looked around at the circle of those who sat about him, those he had appointed, those that were right there to follow his will. And he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. The principle is that the love that you have for Jesus Christ is so intense. It is so intense that it almost seems like dislike and hatred for your own family when compared to the love and the devotion that you have to Jesus Christ. Jesus made it clear, whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Look at the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 14, Luke 14, verse 26. Luke 14, 26. The scripture says this, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That is the passage where we see that contrast between such love and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ that it seems like hatred towards our own family. But we have to couple this and we have to balance this with a passage in 1 Timothy. If you want to turn there, you can. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. So here the Lord Jesus here, he is not saying that to follow Christ, you literally hate your parents, you literally hate your brother, you literally hate your sister. No, but I will say this. There is a level of commitment to the gospel. There is a level of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ that no relationship even comes close. It is so devoted that it almost seems like a hatred towards the family member because of the commitment and the love. And can I tell you this? Throughout all history, there have been those that have denied special time with their own family because they have been sent by God to make a difference in this world. And that's exactly what happened to these disciples. So we have to be willing, parents, to give over our children to the Lord. Amen? Amen. I recently went out and saw little Carlton Patterson. Little Carlton. Stephanie and Jeffrey just had little Carlton, and I was able to see little Carlton. And I was thinking about, you know, one day they will bring him down here in front of this church. Now, we think sometimes this is kind of a ritual thing we do. You know, we have prayer for babies. We have prayer for parents. But you know what this is? This is a prayer of dedication. It is a time when we really say, Jesus, this child is yours. And I think about parents in our church right now whose kids are on the foreign mission field right now. They're here worshiping, not with their own kids, because their own kids are on to the ends of the earth, sharing the gospel. And so to some people, that sounds foolish. They came to get Jesus. They said, he's beside himself. They say that D.L. Moody was so passionate about the gospel, they called him Crazy Moody. Crazy Moody. I tell you what, the same kind of passion. Oh, by the way, did you watch those ball games yesterday? Woo. Man, I was jumping around, man. They just get out of the living room when I'm watching, man. They just all leave because I'm moving around. I'm hollering. I'm thinking, you know, I was watching those games. But I was thinking, you know what? With the same passion I was watching those games, I need to have that passion for the gospel. Passion for the Lord. So, to some, it's an appointment. We are to be with Jesus. We are to be sent out. He gives authority to do his ministry. To some, it's absurd. Then lastly, quickly, to some, it's alarming. Because the Pharisees were threatened. They threw up the alarms. We've got to stop this man. Look what they did in verse 22. And the scribes who came from Jerusalem. Now, by the way, when it says they came from Jerusalem, this was like the establishment religion people, okay? They came down from Jerusalem. It wasn't just the local people. They went to get some other people from the convention, man. We got to get some reinforcements in here. So they brought him from Jerusalem, and he said, he has Beelzebub, or Satan, and by the ruler of demons, he cast out demons. Now, the Lord gave them parables. The word parable means to come alongside. It is a message that God gives to come alongside a situation to shed light on it. He says, how can Satan cast out Satan? It doesn't make sense to say that Jesus was casting out demons by the power of the demons. Why would they be casting out their own people? Okay, their own power. If a kingdom is divided against himself, the kingdom cannot stand. He gives that thought, that parable. If a house is divided against itself, a house cannot stand. And if Satan is risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds a strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Assuredly, I say to you, circle that. Assuredly, I say to you, that's the first amen in the book of Mark. That's what that means. It's an amen. I assuredly say to you, and listen to what he is assuredly saying, and this is encouraging to every believer. Assuredly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven of the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they have, they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. They were blaspheming the Holy Spirit by saying that the power that Jesus exuded was not from the Holy Spirit, but it was from Satan himself. And verse 30, because they said he has an unclean spirit. They were threatened, and so they said, we're alarmed. So you've got three different options in this passage of how do you respond. You respond to follow Christ. It's an appointment. God has appointed me to go out and to preach the gospel and to be with him and to have the power to see God do a work in people's lives. Or is it absurd? Is it foolish? Is the Lord beside himself? Or is it alarming? It's ruffling our feathers. And it's alarming, this following Christ, man. It may shake up your life. It may shake up your religion. It may shake up your comfort zone. So we have those responses. What about you? What about you? Do you sense that you're appointed? Do you find it absurd, or is it alarming to you? Now, I think about our church here. I think about our church. I want us to be an appointed church. Sending out. Amen? Amen. Sending out people. You know, our church has always been ready to do anything to reach people. I think about the history. I don't go all the way back into all the history of our church, but our church here, at one time when no one was doing this, they embarked on a television ministry. Hey, our church one time, our church bought an airplane. We're the owners of an airplane. You say, where is it? Well, it's in Alaska, and I don't even know if the thing still runs now. But at one time, our church got behind a missionary that needed that. Our church has been willing to do whatever it would take to reach people for Jesus Christ. If we were convinced of it, we were willing to do that. I think about when we came together and we built that building out there. We did it for a purpose so that it would be filled with people. And I walked around out there this morning. Man, what a beautiful sight. God's word being taught. Man, our newlywed class started a brand new Chip Ingram series today on marriage. Man, if you know a young couple that wants to nail down some awesome things on marriage, you need to get them involved in that class. They just started a brand new thing. I think about missions. This church has always been powerfully involved in missions. But you know, we need to be a sending church. We need to be a church that is appointed. I heard this the other day and it really convicted me. I want to talk to you as your pastor today. Are you with me? There are three messages a church can send out to its people. I heard this from an expert with our North America Mission Board and the IMB. One message that some churches send out is this message: please stay. Please stay. Oh, please stay. Please stay. Don't go anywhere. Please stay. And when you think, and churches that their whole message is please stay are dying churches. The second message that churches give is please come. Hey, we've got some good things for you. We got some things that will encourage you. I hope you'll come. Please come. And by the way, when you come, please stay. But if you want to be a multiplying, gospel-centered church that pushes back darkness, here's what your message has to be. Please go. We ought to be a sending church. We make disciples here in the local church by going, by baptizing or connecting people into Bible study, and then by teaching people to observe. In our bulletin, there are little icons that demonstrate those things, a little world for the going events that we're doing, a little connection thing for the things that relate to connecting people to the life of the church, and then a little open Bible icon that shows the things that we do that relate to teaching. We have a mandate to to make disciples, to go to the ends of the earth. You know, our International Mission Board has challenged us to plant churches. They've challenged us to say, you know what? Churches plant churches. We ought to plant churches. And then the North America Mission Board in North America says, there are places that there is darkness, and we're asking our churches, instead of just saying, please stay, or please come. Now, please come is better than please stay. I hope we're not just a please stay. At least give us a please come, amen? But church, we need to be a please go. This needs to be a gospel station sending agency. Now, I'll tell you something. That hurts. That's costly. You send your best. Hey, the Lord may send me and Kelly. Boy, I tell you what. I've been trying to listen to the Lord for all these years since he saved me at 17. He's never disappointed me. But we've got to be willing to go. Our IMB, our NAM, our North America Mission Board has challenged us. You say, well, we don't have that many resources. Resources are not measured in buildings, although we have wonderful buildings. Chad Rollins just painted this up here. Isn't this beautiful up here? He just got this all painted and cleaned up for us. We got great buildings. Brother Walt does a great job keeping things nice for us, and we're thankful for our buildings, but that's not what we're talking about. It's not always about money either. It's not always about things. Let me tell you what we have. We have people. We have resources in people that are committed to Christ. Let me ask you a question. Would you say this, Lord? Would you say this? Lord, I'm willing to go anywhere and do anything you've called me to do. Folks, listen, I'm I have watched the gospel change so many people's lives in the direction. It is amazing. And I'll be honest with you, I'm in my 50s. I know that shocks you. You're going to really frustrate me, and I'm going to really frustrate you if for the next 10 years of my life, our message is, please stay. I can't sleep at night thinking that that would be the message of North Central. It's never been that message. My prayer is God would make this a gospel sending station. And I tell you, if I know the people of this church, and I do, the people of this church will get behind sending to the ends of the earth. That map out there has the faces of people that have come through our church, have been associated with us in some way. That doesn't even scratch the surface. Get with Paul Waters and Wayne Cheshire and some of these guys that have been here a while. There would be no more map because of the faces that would be on that map of people that have come through this place, that have gone and been sent out. That has been a part of our ministry. So it's really about people. Ask yourself, Lord, am I willing to go anywhere, do anything you've called me to do? I think about couples that I know right now in this church who I believe with all my heart they're willing to lay down their lives to go anywhere to take the gospel if God was to give them a strategy and motivate them to do that. And then I thought about our college students. Think about these amazing college students God has given this church. Church family, hey, can I just say this to you guys? When you're not here, there you go. Need I say more? So do me a favor, just become a permanent student here, okay? Because when you're here, it's energy. I had one couple come say to me, we like this church because, man, there's young people here. And I tell you what, God's using this young man right here, Chris Woods, to build some young people in this place. I'm telling you, it's exciting to see what God's doing. Man, I'm so excited about that, I can't stand it. But I think about these college students. Would they be willing to give 2 years of their lives to go somewhere to make a difference for eternity? You know, sometimes they'll say to me, and they'll say to Matt, they'll say, you know, we're not sure what we're going to do. They graduate, and you know what happens most of the time? They graduate from college, and they go right back to their hometown and get a job in their field. Nothing wrong with that. But what if they were mobilized through the life of this church to go to some other place and get a job to help support a gospel-sending station to push back the walls of darkness? Some called him crazy moody. You know, maybe you're going to call me crazy car. I don't know. But I like that idea. I tell you, I'll be honest with you. I'm filling out journeyman application. I got them on my desk. Matt, I'm sorry. I'm not done. I got 18 reference forms for college students that need references. I can't fill them out with a clear conscience and just, you know, Christmas tree the thing. So I have to think about them. And I'm filling out journeyman applications. College students wanting to go partner with our IMB to go to the ends of the earth. And I got to thinking about these college students. I said, you know what? Some of them will go back home and they'll get a job. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. We salute them for doing that. But what if we challenge a group of them to go to a place and help us penetrate lostness? So I went to Matt Sykes. I said, Matt, I want us to plant a church. I want our church to mobilize a planter in cooperation with our International Mission Board or North American Missions, and let's go plant a church. And anybody in our fellowship, primarily some college students that are coming to the end of their season of study, that would be willing to go, let's go push back the walls of darkness. Instead of saying, please stay. Instead of saying, please come, why don't we say, please go? So I go to Matt and I say, Matt, I want to talk to you about helping to train these students to go plant churches. And then Matt looks at me and goes, I'm your planter. So in the fall of next year, Matt and Jess are going to go plant a church out of the life of our church. Amen? And we're going to develop a strategy of training college students that we can go to places on this planet and send them to penetrate darkness. Their heart is to go overseas. They've got a couple places picked out they're praying about in cooperation with our International Mission Board, those that we know and we respect would help. Hey, this is a big task, but can I tell you something, church? We have a big God. Amen? Amen? We have a big God. It's a big task. It's a big assignment. So we're in the process of developing a training strategy for those that will be sent. And can I tell you this? I believe we're up to it. I believe this church will be behind it. I believe our church will be excited as wherever plants go, and who knows, I was thinking about trying to put a number on it. I don't think that I can necessarily do that, but what if in the next 10 years maybe we could launch somewhere between 5 and 10 churches somewhere in the world, and our message would be, please go, come here, And be equipped and be discipled and be trained, and then please go to the ends of the earth. Now, here's what can happen. Get ready. Some of you that are thinking, oh, man, isn't that great? They're going to have some college students go. The Holy Spirit may speak to you. One thing that we've got to realize is if we do this, we've got to send our best. And send them to push back the walls of darkness. So you be praying, church family. You be praying that we could develop a strategy of equipping collegians, equipping students and others to go to the ends of the earth. But you mark it down. For the next year, we're going to be in preparation, training, equipping, mobilizing, discipling, so that this church family will launch a church somewhere to the ends of the earth to make a difference for Jesus Christ. And I believe we're up to it. Here's what I'm excited about. I'm thinking about those little ones that were right up there. I'm thinking about them growing up, seeing the gospel percolate in hearts before their eyes and realizing that this following Jesus stuff is serious. This following Jesus stuff is life-changing. It's directional in our life. Our children and youth will see us launching in a faraway place. And who knows, maybe we'll, you know, our Florida Baptist Convention, they're after us to plant churches. So who knows, we may plant a church in Florida somewhere. The North American Mission Board's after us. The strategy is that churches plant churches somewhere in North America. They're there to help us. We already give to support the effort. And then our International Mission Board is there to do that as well. But here's the question. What about you today? What about you today? Is following Jesus an appointment to you? Appointed, that meaning that he is going to make something out of your life? Or is it absurd, or is it alarming? I'd like for us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.